listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Tell the person next to you, say, you don't have to believe my dream. Tell them again. Tell someone, say, tell them, you don't have to believe my dream. What I'm telling you right now, I've got a Bible principle for it, and I'll tell it to you in just a minute. But people don't have to believe your dream. They don't have to be on your side. I'm going to tell you right now. I know that Dwayne's got a dream. He's got a dream for rock stars, and that is it is a program, a ministry to reach out to young people that are the throwaways, not untouchables. There's another word for it, for the not unreachables, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. What is that? What do you call the guys just on the street that nobody else gets in their programs and they're the at risk? So stand up just a minute, Dwayne, and well, Martine, you better stand up because you really do more than he does. These guys have a vision and a dream, and they're believing God, and He's doing something great in their lives, and they're helping these at-risk kids in a basketball program, but it also has mentoring in it, and has there's some after-school help for studies and all of that. They need all kinds of people to gather up with them. But let me say something to you. They don't have to have us agreeing with their dream. What they got to make up their mind is that I've got a dream that God's given me, and I have this dream, and whether you believe my dream or not is immaterial. But here's another thing that God wants you to know. And I mentioned this morning to the dream team that we have here. One of the things I will mention to you right now is that God has other people that have a dream. And their dream isn't exactly what your dream is, but your dream, if it ever connects to theirs, is going to make both of y'all's dream flourish. And so here's what the Lord wants you to know. He gives you a dream, and no one else has to agree with your dream, but there's someone else in the world right now that is waking up with that same dream, and somehow He puts y'all together just like He did with Cornelius and Peter. You can be seated. Let me just tell you about Cornelius and Peter. How many of y'all? Yeah, give them a hand. How many of y'all remember? How many of y'all remember in Acts chapter 10? You still playing for me? Excellent. You can sit down now. Give Charlie a hand. This is one of the... Listen, this whole praise team did wonderful, and I'm going to tell you right now, Charlie's got a dream that God's going to use him in a mighty way. He'll be a pastor one day. Right now, he's in the ministry of music, and he may pastor and do music at the same time. I don't know what that's going to look like. But let me say this to you. He doesn't have to have me believing in his dream. He's got to believe in his dream. Amen? I've got a dream. But what I like is he's got a dream and I've got a dream, and our dreams have run together. And when they collided, they work well together. So I don't have to depend on him for my dream. I've got to make up my mind about my dream. And I'm telling you this for a reason, because there's a lot of folk in here that pass your dream down to your kids and you want them to have your dream. You want them to be a doctor. You want them to be a lawyer. You want your, y'all ain't amen to me now because I got in your business. But you've got something for them to do. And what it is you are vicariously living what you wanted to do in them. I want my kid to be a preacher, anointing on them. Leave your kid alone. Your kid to be a preacher, they want to be a preacher. Your dream is not what they're going to do. There are too many frustrated doctors that have big houses and a lot of money that can't keep a wife because they're frustrated because they never wanted to be a doctor. We're not amening now. You see what I'm talking about? What it is we try to pawn dreams off and push dreams off. If you go with me in your Bible to a couple places, let's just hit a couple places. I was supposed to do a lot more stuff today, but I'm pitiful about doing business on preaching. Go with me if you would. This afternoon we have 301. That is our giftings, where you take a test for gifting and find out giftings and talents, things that God has sown in you. If you would like to come to 301, that's part of our growth track we have. We have 101 on the first Sunday, 201 on the second, 301 on the third, 401 on the fourth. My wife and I will be at 301 today, and we have some tests you take to help you in giftings and callings. So if you've not done our growth track, to really be a part of the church, you want to be a member, you want to really function here, be on our dream team and help us, whether it's on praise team or whatever else it is, we want you to go through the growth track. And they're every week. We have them right after the service. We buy you a lunch. We'll meet as soon as the service is over. I think in one of the rooms upstairs here, we will meet, have you lunch, and take you through that class. So today, if you'd like to be a part of 301, even if you haven't had 101 or 201, you can drop into 301 today, and then you can pick it up as we go along into next month. If you want to come to 301, we just need to get a head count for buying lunches for everybody. Who's coming today? I see two hands up, three hands, four hands up. Michael, count, please. Went above four. I was getting to five. I was going to run out of count. I mentioned this to our praise team and dream team this morning. We have children's ministry. We have three to five years old going on. We have a nursery that's operating right now. Those people in there, we don't call them the 3 and 5 year old teacher. We call her or whoever it is that they are a dream team member that happens to be teaching. The children's ministry in the back is taking place as we have dream team members teaching our children, and they happen to be the children's teachers today. So dream team is where we're head here. Whether you're greeting people, parking people on the lot, teaching a class, singing on the platform, playing an instrument, whatever the function is, or working back in the media part of what we do here, that's all a part of a dream team, and you go through growth track to get there. So today we're going to be taking the giftings test, so we want you all to get involved in that if you would. I want us to deal this morning, if we could, for a few minutes, and I know we've pressed you for some time today, but I want to just stay on this idea of the dreams and giving dreams off to other people and you getting your own dream. And I will come back to Cornelius, if you don't mind, in just a minute, who is, to me, a phenomenal story in himself and him getting a dream. I want us to go to a couple places of people who have dreams in the Bible, but let's go, if we could, maybe to Exodus chapter 14. I could give you other dreams, but this is one of Moses' dreams that he had, and that is of getting these people out of bondage. And we're going to look at a few verses in the 14th chapter of Exodus. What did I say? Did I say Exodus? Man, I turned to Genesis, and I'm thinking, did I tell y'all Genesis? But in Exodus, we'll look there. How many of y'all do remember people that had some just phenomenal dreams? And when I say a dream could, mostly when God spoke in the Bible, and many times, probably the lion's share, He spoke to people at night. And can I tell you why He speaks to people at night? Because we don't listen in the day. I'm just telling you. The truth is, God can do a lot more talking to you at night than He can in the daytime. Because I'll tell you the truth. You've been driving down the street in your car. You've pulled up into service stations. You've gone into grocery stores. And the Lord has spoken to you and said, bless them. Right? And you got the thought and you said, that's just me. Oh, you're not amen to me now, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, the Lord says, you got a $10 bill in your pocket, and that's all you got left, and you go through a store, and you're going out into Walmart, and there's someone standing there, and the Lord speaks to you and say, give them that $10 and tell them God bless you. You're saying, that's just me. And you keep that in your pocket, and you're going out. Here's all I'm saying. It's a lot easier for God to deal with you at night than it is in the daytime. And it's not His problem, it's our problem of paying attention and listening. But if you deal with the people in the Bible that had dreams, how about Noah's dream? I don't know if y'all have ever just kind of processed with me Noah's dream. I'm going to get to you in Exodus in just a minute. But how about Noah's dream when he had the dream of building the ark, right? God speaks to him, he gets this dream to build an ark. And how many of you know it took more than just a couple days to build it? I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. The whole foundation, the whole thought of building an ark was foreign because they don't have rain. They're not living by water. He's sitting out in the middle of like nowhere. And for 75 to 100 years, and as some people say it's more than that. I'm not 100% sure. But it's between 75 and 100 years, he's building an ark because it's going to do something that it's never done called rain. And I don't know what y'all think about this, but when the Bible said people made fun of him, how many of y'all have ever been made fun of? Someone kind of threw a word or two at you, made fun of you for something or other. Doesn't matter if it's even good or bad, but you've had, yeah, no one likes that. But I don't know if y'all catch this or not, but your Bible lets you know very clearly it was a daily problem they had with the majority telling them that you are ridiculously stupid. You're building a boat. There ain't no place to float it. You're building a boat. You're talking about rain. You don't even know what rain is. I'm just saying, that was every day that they were out there against them. I don't know how the rest of y'all feel, but that's a minority holding on against a majority because God gave him a dream. There, you can scroll through. You can go to Abraham. We all know Abraham's story, right? The Lord tells him we'll make him a nation. By the time he's 75 years old, the Lord says, you're going to have a nation just like the sand of the sea and stars of the sky. And he's looking around saying, this ain't going to happen. So y'all know the story as well as I do. One of the things in the story of Abraham that I would like for you to just kind of vignette and pull out and keep to the side is in the 15th chapter when God comes to him and says, I'm going to swear by a covenant with you. How many of you do remember that? And he told him, he said, you go get a heifer and you go get, you know, the other animals. He had three or four different animals and the birds he had to kill. And he got there and he killed the animals and laid down heifers and lambs and birds and had them split up in halves. And then the Lord said, I can't do this. Listen to me very closely. I'm not going to make a covenant with a man. This is going to hurt your feelings right here because you're going to say, I got a covenant with God. No, baby, listen to me. Jesus got a covenant with God. You got a covenant in Jesus, or you don't have a covenant with God. No, listen closely. God said this, I'm going to make a covenant with Abraham, only I can't do it with Abraham because he's a man. Listen to me, and he won't keep covenant. Therefore, you prepare it, but you going to sleep, and I'm walking through. Y'all do remember the story now, don't you? That God put him to sleep, had the sacrifice laid out, and your Bible says God moved through in a figure eight, passing over the blood of those animals. And as he did, he swore by himself. This is why in the New Testament, when the Word of God speaks to you and says something like this, what do you do when you are unfaithful, but God is faithful? That is the key. We all going to be unfaithful, but He is never unfaithful. Therefore, you never have a broken covenant. Why? Because God ain't sending Jesus back to any more crosses. He's done with that. His covenant was with Jesus. And somehow or other, we kind of get ourselves figured in that God made a covenant with me. No, baby, He didn't make a covenant with you. He didn't make a covenant. Listen to me. The Bible says He made a covenant with His Word. His Word is the covenant. Jesus is the Word. So God makes a covenant with Himself, and therefore it can't be broken. I don't care what hell does. But Pastor, you know, I had a covenant with God, but I failed. I'm just thanking God that it wasn't a covenant with you. Because if yours fail, then mine's bad. But you've got to love the Bible because the book of Proverbs says, though a righteous man falls seven times, though a righteous man falls seven times, the Lord will. Who's going to lift him up? Not the righteous man. The righteous man done fell seven times. The Bible says when a righteous man falls seven times, and the Lord will lift him up. There's some of you right now saying, I wish you wouldn't preach that because that's going to give people a license to fall. I'm just telling you what the truth of the Bible is, and you need to be glad it's in there. Because while you are pompously thinking that someone's going to use that for sin, you better think about the way you live already. Book of Micah chapter 7 and verse number 8 says this, don't laugh at me, O my enemy, when I fall, because when I fall, I will rise again, because the Lord Himself will be light in my darkness. I'm just saying this covenant thing is not, and I'm saying this almost tongue-in-cheek, because it is with us, but it's only with us in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not in covenant. And when you're in Christ, it's His covenant that He has with the Father that sustains us. This is why the Bible says that when we accepted the Lord, He made us His righteousness. He made you righteous. You didn't be righteous. You didn't earn righteous. He made you righteous. Y'all still tracking me? Anyway, that has something to do with this before we get done, I'm sure. Abraham had a dream and a vision. He messed up and got in the flesh on some of it and started doing it on his own, not unlike people. There are people today that have dreams that are out of the flesh. They were abused as a child. They had a bad upbringing, and so they make decisions today based on what that was, and that's really a fleshly way to make a dream. Other people have their dreams based on the pure flesh, and that is, I'm going to be that so I can be somebody. So they do it on who they can be, right? Or how much money I can make and what my name can be. And I'm just going to help you right now. We need to always give God the praise and the glory. Make up our minds that I'm not going to be what I want to be so I can be somebody. Amen. That's the flesh. I want to be what God wants me to be. Listen to me, baby. If it's baking cupcakes for a living, who cares? Amen. Yeah, but you're not, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are in Christ and you're doing what God's called you to do and you can bake cupcakes, bake the best cupcakes, be excellent in cupcakes and be happy where you are instead of being something God didn't call you to be. Amen. So we got Abraham. He was in this. Finally, he comes back around. God speaks to him and says, you are going to have this child. Your Bible says that Abraham in chapter 17 fell on his face, the Bible says, and laughed when God said he was going to have a baby. Abraham just could not get it. And that's, I'm going to be honest with you. We do that looking down our nose at others. We don't laugh at ourselves because when God tells us we can be great, oh yeah, hallelujah. But when God gives someone else a vision, then we look down our nose at them. I can't believe that. Dwayne, stand up. And don't stand up. But when Dwayne stood up a while ago and we talked about him, there's going to be somebody, like probably his older brother, but there could be someone else in here. But someone else, you know, baby boy, don't you? So is it baby boy, baby brother? What you call him? Baby brother. That's sick. That's sick in all the bad ways. No, it's good. But I'm just saying, when Dwayne stood up and we talked about him having a dream and a vision, there's bound to be somebody in here that doesn't care for something about Dwayne. I mean, maybe there's somebody, I don't know, that may know something about Dwayne, or maybe it's someone else in here that God's using them in a way and someone knows something about them and you can't ever buy into what God is doing for them. Let me help you right now. No one asked you to buy into it anyway. The dream isn't about you. Amen. It's about who God's calling. Turn to someone and say, you don't have to believe my dream. There are a lot of people that had dreams that died on them. Isaac did the same thing. He got put in a land. When Isaac got put in a land, the Bible said it went into a drought and he was getting ready to leave the land and go somewhere else. And God said, this is Genesis 26. God said, don't do it. Stay there. He stayed there and God revived his dream in that land. How about the Shunammite lady? You remember the Shunammite lady who Elisha had prayed over her to have a baby. She had a baby and then the baby died. Now there's your dead dream. She dreamed to have a baby. Elisha prays over her. She has the baby. Then the baby dies, and she comes to Elisha. But on her way to Elisha, as she's getting to him, and people said, what do you want? She said, it doesn't have anything to do with you. Everything's all right. Doesn't have anything to do with you. It's all right. Her dream was dead, but to her, it was all right. I don't know what she saw. We don't have clarification on that. But what we do know, that she put everybody aside till she got to him, and she fell down with the man of God. And when the man of God heard about it, he did what his predecessor did. He went to that baby and laid on top of that child, and the baby was born again. Here's all I'm telling you. You may have a dead dream. You may think you're past the dream. I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm 62 years old. I think about us starting a church here and trying to get our sea legs under us here at this house, and God, what are you doing with us? But we sold our house, and y'all saw that on Facebook. If you track us at all, we sold that house up in Trustfield, and someone said, "Oh, now you're here for good." We were here for good, with or without the house. I mean, we're here. We get that. But we had that house on the market for 4.5 months in this economy and made money on it. I'm saying thank you, Jesus. I'm just saying thank you, Jesus, because He knows when the dream is out there, it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. It matters what the dream is. And I'm going to help y'all right now. The end of the dream is not Mike Wright doing something. Come on, Charlie, you can amen better than that. It's about someone like a Charlie or someone else that God will raise up that'll pastor this house. It won't be me. I'm 62. It's not a lifetime. I'll be apostolically over other churches, but God's going to raise somebody up. There's a vision greater than what we're doing. Jimmy's dealing with the youth, and he said, Pastor, tell everybody we're going to have a re-something or other. Yeah, they're going to have a makeover. They're having a Thrive makeover, so they're going to do something different in the youth. I'm saying praise God for that. That we can have a vision. We can move forward. Someone gets a dream. So in the Bible, we have people with dreams like this. And in the 14th chapter of Exodus, let's just hurry on through this. Hear what the Bible says. Beginning of verse number 10. And Pharaoh drew near, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Now, let me just say this to you. At this point, they've been happy campers. Why are they happy? Because they're getting out of bondage. Why are they happy? They're happy because they're laden down with gold. Your Bible says when they left, they told their neighbors to give them gold and said the Egyptians took off earrings and nose rings and bracelets and loaded them down with gold. These people leaving, they're cashing out, they're going out with money, they're happy. They get to a bump in the road. It says, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. We're in verse number 10. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, because there are no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? In other words, what are you doing? You're going to get us killed now. I mean, they're just totally crawfishing. They're turning away. They're just forgetting everything God was doing for them. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we can serve the Egyptians? No, they were saying, give me your gold. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. And Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, stand still. You might want to underline some of this. Don't be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Verse 14, for the Lord, and I want you to underline this one, for the Lord will fight for us, and you shall shut up. What does your Bible say? Hold your peace. That's kind. That's probably not what Moses said. I mean, I'm just saying, here's your word I want you to get. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Instead of us running for the complaining board and getting our vote in on why we want to bail, maybe what we need to do is believe that God's fighting for us. I don't know if y'all have read that or not, but God will fight for you. God will fight for you. God comes on your side. See, right now, we think maybe God is a long way from us. I'm telling you, He's with us right now. There are angels around us right now. And your Bible says God's fighting for you. Amen? Just because you have a dream doesn't mean you're not going to have conflict or controversy. How many of you know you have conflict when you have a dream? Everybody in the Bible did. Some people say, well, if it were God, it would be easy. If it's God, it could be hell. I'm just saying, every time someone in the Bible had a dream, there was controversy or there was conflict, and someone had to hold on to a dream that was given to them. Amen? The problem we have with dreaming is no one wants trouble, but that's a part of it. Go quickly to Romans chapter 3. Let's just look at this very quickly. Romans 3. You're going to have some problems with your dream. Oh, we have issues here at the church. You would think that everybody in church would love everybody and everybody would get along with everybody. Well, that's not where it all happens. But we've got to make up our mind that there is a place for us to hold our peace and let God fight for us. Listen to what the Bible says here. This is the third chapter of the book of Romans, beginning verse number 1. What advantage then? This is Paul. Now, let me just say this. Paul is really almost like a lawyer. I mean, this guy is very bright. He is one of the greatest apologists for the Word of God. I mean, you give him a word from God, and he will dissect that thing. And then when I say an apologist, that doesn't mean he's saying, I'm sorry. An apologist gives an apologetic. An apologetic is approving of something. In other words, when I give an apologetic, I'm going to give you every fact that I can find about it and tell you why it ought to be that way. Apologetic is not saying, I'm sorry. That's an apology. An apologetic is someone that's proving and testing it with their words and with information. Listen to this guy. He starts it with a question. I mean, he is just such a bright guy. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of the circumcision. Now, he's dealing with the difference between the race of the Gentiles and the Jews, and everybody ought to buy into something like this because this is where every one of us fit. Listen to this. What advantage then has the Jews, or what profit of the circumcision? Now, listen to what he says. Much in every way. Now, here's why. It's not the circumcision. It's not being the Jew, but listen to his answer. Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. To them were committed the words of God. They were word carriers. They were chosen to carry the covenant. They were chosen to carry the word. Are y'all still seeing where we're going with this? They're the ones that have the word. They're the ones that were given the dream. Verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man be made a liar. Listen to what he said. He says, what if some people don't believe? Can I tell you something? The Bible says in the kingdom of God, there is no Jew and there is no Greek, there is no Gentile, there is no rich, there is no poor, there is no slave, there is no free man, that everybody is one in Christ. Say one in Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, whether you like it or not, it is a kingdom principle that there are no haves and have-nots. There are no smart and ignorant. It's everybody. God collects everybody and puts us all in Christ. Well, if I'm in Christ and they're in Christ, I don't want to be there. Okay, baby, you get your wish. They're not leaving because you don't want them there. And we got Christians that think that. I just can't believe that they're going to be in the same place I am. I'm going to tell you what, baby, we all in the same place. And if someone ain't, it's you. Amen? I'm just trying to help you out here. Somehow or other, we kind of think that these poor folk aren't going to be where these rich folk are. I want to tell you right now, we're all rich in Christ, and we all are in Christ Jesus as one man. Your Bible said God took the two, the twain, and made them one in Christ. Oh, see, right there. God didn't make my wife me, but here's what he said. I love her like I love you, and she's got as much anointing as you do, so I can make the two of you one in Christ. He didn't make me Sue and didn't make her Mike, but didn't make me female or her male. But made us one in Christ. The same way it happens with education or uneducation, same thing it happens with any other walk of our life, that we need to understand we are one in Christ. We need to buy that and get a hold of it very quickly. We've been made one in Christ. And I want to say something. If you don't believe, it doesn't make God unfaithful. So I'm going to help you right now. You don't have to believe in my dream. I don't have to have you to believe in my dream. You know, we're in America, we're like that. Let's sell them our dream. I'll give you a vision of where we're going, but you don't have to believe my dream. My dream will only be believed by a few people, and they may not be in this room right now. It's not my goal for you to have my dream. It's my goal for you to have your dream. And it's God's goal to make these dreams work together. Amen? It may not be your goal to start a church and be over church. It may be your goal to have a class upstairs. Then my dream of having a church will mesh with your dream of having a class. It doesn't make me want that class because I'm not doing it, but you are. It doesn't put you up preaching. It puts me there. But our dreams work together. So your unbelieving doesn't stop us. Lean over one more time if you have a dream and say, you don't have to believe my dream. See, some of y'all ain't got a dream, so it doesn't matter. You're going to leave. You'll leave here today and say, I got nothing out of that. And I understand. You got dressed, went someplace, and didn't get anything. I understand. Because we're talking about people that have a dream. We're talking about someone that had a dream and it died. We're talking about someone had a dream and it looks like they lived past it. They had a dream and maybe it was taken away from them. Maybe they thought God gave up on it. I'm just telling you right now, God says, I'm going to be with you because now we are carrying the promise, right? We're carrying that word on us. Amen? I'm a word carrier now. That's the difference with them. Certainly not. Verse 4, indeed, let God be made true and every man a liar. The word that's on them, they're word carriers, and that's who we've been made in Christ Jesus, to carry the word of God, the dream. One other thing I will just give you very quickly concerning our dreams, and then I'm going to probably work toward a close on this if I could. We're gonna determine the source of a dream. We're gonna determine the resource of a dream. But before we do, let me just give you this one thought about Cornelius, chapter 10 of Acts. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, a soldier. Okay? He was not a seer, a sage, or a rabbi. He had no place in that church of getting a word from God. You listen very. See, y'all looking at me right now. Well, no, Pastor, because it's right in here. Just read the Bible. It's right here in chapter 10. God spoke to Cornelius. Let me help y'all. Let me back y'all up just a little bit. Do you realize the conflict the church was in those days, that they still ran back to Jerusalem about every month or so to ask them, can we eat meat offered to an idol? Do all those Gentiles have to be circumcised? Who all can come to the Lord's table? Do y'all realize they had those questions? Do you understand that we read the Bible and we read it with a hindsight bias? We've already been there, done that. We don't even have to have it explained to us anymore because we know it all. But we forget the church was in turmoil because they didn't know how to operate in this new grace anointing. They didn't know how it was that God could speak to just anybody. And it happens in churches. Well, God only speak through the pastor. He's going to speak through the apostle. He'll speak through the prophet. That's all he's going to do. Let me help you all right now. God will speak through anybody sitting up in this room right now. He'll speak to who he wants to speak through. He doesn't have to have a mouthpiece to speak through. He just got to have a willing heart to hear him. How many of y'all remember that Cornelius was a Roman soldier? He was not a Jew. He was a Roman. He should not have been getting a word from God. Although he was a generous man, and the Bible says a liberal soul will be made fat. He prayed, and he was liberal, and God said, I can do something with someone to pray and give. I want y'all to hear me again. He shouldn't have gotten that word. He wasn't good enough. He had too many problems in his life. He had too many failures. He wasn't even a part of the church, for Pete's sake. He was a foreigner. He was an outcast from us, but yet, because he gets this word from God. How many of y'all remember what the word was? God gave him a word. God spoke to him and said, I want you to send some boys down to Joppa because down there lives a guy named Peter. And as a matter of fact, I'm talking to him right now. Now, how many of y'all do know that Peter would never believe that God would speak to Cornelius? How many of y'all do under? I've got my hand up for a witness here. I'm telling you, Peter would have never believed it. If Cornelius would have walked up to him and said, hey, brother, I'm just going to tell you right now, God spoke to me. First of all, Peter said, don't touch me because I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile. And not only do I don't touch you, God doesn't touch you. God's not speaking to you. Are y'all still tracking me? See, you read the Bible and think Peter was this great guy. I'm going to tell you right now, Peter was a religious individual and he dealt with a lot of feelings and that was one of them. See, y'all still don't believe me right now. Y'all scratching your head. No, that's just not how God is. Well, all right, let me keep you on the story just a little bit. How many of y'all remember in the story about Peter whenever God speaks to him and God's trying to get his attention about Cornelius? And what did God bring down? What was his vision? Now, do remember this. He spoke to him when he was hungry. So you might want to think about that. If you want God to speak to you, you might want to get hungry. If you're not hungry, he probably won't talk to you very much. But I'm just saying, Peter was hungry and he went up on the roof and he was laying down before lunch. And in his time of hunger, the Lord comes down and speaks to him. And how many of y'all remember what God showed him? What was his vision? How did he start breaking the ice with getting him to go to Cornelius? Listen to me, a Jew wouldn't even walk into a Gentile's house. He wouldn't pet his dog. And God comes down and gives him a vision. Y'all do remember the vision, right? It came down in a great sheet, the Bible said. And in it was all kinds of unclean animals. And the Lord said, you hungry, get up and eat. This blows me away. This is religion at its apex. This is religiosity and the institutional church operating at its prime. Because a man of God stood to God and said, no, God. He was the church. Y'all not even mad at me now. Because, see, y'all thinking Peter was a sinner. No, sir. Peter was a church man. Peter was one of the central figures of the church of that day. He was one of those that had the last word. He was one of the apostles. He had a word to say. And God spoke to him and showed him that. And listen to me. He did it a second time. And let me show you what religion said. Religion rose up and felt good about itself and said, "No way, God." See, we sit around here in 2013 thinking, "I'd never do that." And the truth is, I don't want to ever get religious. I don't want to ever rule out what God's doing. I don't want to ever sit around and try to tell God what He can and can't do because I have a history in the church. I want to make up my mind that His mercies are new today. I've been born again a long time. I've got some history behind me, but that is not what satisfies my today. My today walk with God is not based on yesterday. It's based on what I'm doing right now. It's not based on 10 years ago. It's based on today. And somebody needs to amen me because your 10 years ago was wretched. You need to be thanking God that today is what He's concerned about. He's not judging you on yesterday. Oh, y'all make me... Listen to me. Some of y'all, you got a list of yesterdays that people have done you wrong. And bless God, this happened 5 years ago. And I know God thinks just like I do. You need to thank God He doesn't. He doesn't take a vote. He doesn't ask you for your list. As a matter of fact, all of us had a list. But when I got up this morning, I had a new mercy, and my yesterday's list is gone. I don't have it today. And when I go another day, that list is gone. I don't carry a list, and neither does God. You don't get to heaven and Him get out a big list and say, "Now, back in 1954, you..." No, He's not doing that. He said, "On the day that I came, you were breathing fire of the gospel, and I brought you up by my grace," and you shout victory, and you go to heaven. You don't go and get a judgment case. Anyway, so Peter, the third time God sends it down. He sent it to him this time. He said, "Peter, get up and eat." And he said, "Lord, whatever..." God said, "Get up and eat, because whatever I call clean, it's clean, and doesn't matter what it looks like. I love God. I love God in creation. I didn't like cold this morning, but I love God. It was cold because God created the heavens and the earth. And when He was creating them, He created them..." I don't know if y'all know this or not. He didn't create them stagnant. He created them in movement. Hallelujah! I don't get it, but He created everything in movement at one time. God's got everything going at one time. Do you know why it's February right now? Because God put it all in movement in the very beginning. And that's a season that changes. And it's a month that changes. And it's a day that changes. As the earth spins and our constellation spins and we move around, we have seasons and days. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm praising God. I'm in a season in my life right now because God created everything in movement. And I can be 62 and God say, "I got something new. I've got something fresh. I've got a vision and a dream that you didn't see back there, because you only had the first step," as Martin Luther King said. "You only had the first step. That's all you got to have, because I've got the staircase. If you'll get there, I'll get you here." So what I got to figure here is I got two people having dreams. I got this outcast, in my opinion, and then I got this sanctimonious sourpuss, whatever else you could say, ugly without cussing in church. Here's what I love about God. He brings them together. He brings dreams together. When those things collided and hit and those dreams got together, Peter thought he'd never do it. But the Bible says, "And while I spoke..." He had never been there. But he said, "While I spoke, the Holy Spirit came down, touched everybody in the room. They began to speak in tongues like we did back in the beginning. How could I refuse water baptism? I'm just saying, you had two dreams, opposite dreams. I'm helping you right now, Rodney. You need to be amen and be a little better than that, babe. I'm just telling you that somebody here that's been saying, I want to do something for somebody and help somebody out, and I don't know about my dream. And then you say, well, I got a dream, and I've already got something moving. They'll say, what? I may not be able to do it, but I'm not attached to a dream. I might be able to be a part of that. I don't need everybody agreeing with my dream. I need you to have a dream. I need you to make up your mind that you don't have to have everybody believing in your dream. Quit trying to get everybody to believe in your dream. They're not going to believe in your dream. Right? But if they don't believe, does that stop God? No. In this dream world that you're resurrecting, you're not resurrecting it for someone else. You're resurrecting it as God gives it to you. So let me give you this, and this is the closing. Know your source. Know that God has given you the dream. Identify the source, right? Make sure that one of the ways you know it's God is just cut out what it's not. I'm not doing this because Aunt Lizzie told me that I was called to the ministry. Listen, let me tell y'all something. I had a guy look at my mama when I was just 3 or 4 months old out in Southgate, California, which is southern part of L.A. It's where guess what? I was born in the same hospital where the Dream Center is. Y'all heard of the Dream Center? So I was born in that same hospital. But there was a man in a church, and my mom was in a church, and my aunt had me in the choir, and she's holding me while she was singing. I was in one of those choirs when everybody comes up to sing. So I'm up in the choir, and this old 70-something-year-old man down on the front row that's really not very old now, was real old when I was little, but now it's not quite that old. The old guy sitting down on the front row, and he was a prophet of a man, and he's on the front row, and he said, in the middle of a song service, he stopped and put the brakes on the church service and said, I see the glory of God on that baby up there that woman is holding in the choir. And I believe that God is going to use him mightily. Now, I'm 3 months old. My mama doesn't tell me that all my life. The anointing's on you, you're going to preach. Now, I didn't get all that. I went through some rough patches in my life. But there was a day when I said, Mama, God's called me to the ministry. And she said, let me tell you a story. All my life, she didn't share that with me. That wasn't her dream to share. But when the time came, I needed to know the source. And you 18 years old, and you're just out of the Marine Corps, and you jacked up, and you think you heard God. Now, Mom, I'm going to go, and God's calling me. And she says, all right, let me tell you a story. When she told me that story, it confirmed in my heart. So I know my source. Can I give y'all one little quick story? It's kind of off the wall, but it's a story that is very interesting. It's a true story. There was a guy in the Second World War. He was in the Navy. He was on board a cruiser. I forget the name of the cruiser, but he was out of. They had it ported in New Orleans at one time. But he was out on a cruiser, and wherever he was in the waters at that time, he was up in the gun. You guys in the Navy. I was in the Marine Corps. I don't know. Boats and ships, but he was up in the where they had the big guns, and he was in one of the magazine areas of the guns, and so the boat took on some fire from planes or whatever, and it blew up that gun area he was in, blew him out of the boat, and he goes all the way out of the boat into the water, and shrapnel hits his legs, so his legs are cut up and he can't use them, and he had on this little life belt around his waist, and it had a little pull thing on it, and he pulled it, and the thing filled up with air, and it floated him, and another boat, I think it was the Jackson or one of these other boats came by, and they picked him up, it was a destroyer, I believe, and they picked him up, and they took him back to the boat he came off of, because they thought that boat was okay, and they put him back on that boat. Well, come to find out, it was hit worse than they thought it was, and it was about to sink. And so the captain was trying to beach it, and he couldn't beach it, and the boat went down, so the ship's going down. This guy's back in the water again. He never took his belt off. He was in the hospital, he's in the infirmary, and he had to go overboard. He jumps overboard. He got that on, and he's floating around again in the water, and they bail him out. They finally get him back home. He's from Akron, Ohio. So he gets back into a military hospital, and he's in a military hospital before he gets to Akron, and he still has that belt. And he got the belt off, and he's looking at it. And as he looked at the belt, and any of you guys that would know what these are like, but it had some canvas on it, but it was made with rubber on the inside. And he looked up inside of it, and the thing was from the Firestone plant in Akron, Ohio. Well, he was from Akron, Ohio. What, he didn't know that his mama had taken a job at the plant at Akron? So his mama came to see him in the hospital, and he said, "I got, you know, blown off two boats, and this and this. If it hadn't been for this, if it hadn't been for this, I'd have been dead in the water, Mom." She said, "Can I look at it, baby?" He said, "Sure." She got it and started looking at it, and she knew where to flip up the right place, and she showed him something. She said, "You see, this is from the plant at home where I work. And you see that number on there? That's the inspection number. That's my number." All I'm saying, yeah, yeah. She reached all the way from Akron. Can you imagine? I mean, what are the chances? All the way from Akron, because she was excellent at home, all the way from Akron, and picked her baby up. Okay. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you just know that God gave you the dream, when you're out in the water, and you pull the plug, you're going to find his name under there. I inspected that. You're going to float. You feel like you're down, you're going to float. Here's you one more thing I'm going to just tell you. This is the other thing. Just know that if your source is God, then he's got your resource. When I look at this church and the size of the church, the finances that come in, I can say right now, we need more resources. Here's what God tells me. You look in your barrel, Mike. So I have to look in my barrel and say, there's flour in here and there's oil in my cruise. And as long as I'm using it the way you want me to use it, there's always going to be enough to use. So I make sure that my dream has sufficiency. Is it enough to float everybody here? No, it's not. But God said, I can add to yours if you just make sure yours is there. So here's what I've got to make up my mind about. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. He doesn't have to supply everything. He can do that as we move along. He can do that as people have finances. He can do that as the church grows. You understand what I'm saying? I've got to make up my mind right now in the dream that God's got this all under control. We'd love to be in a better place, bigger place. We can be in all kinds of stuff. But in my mind right now, I say, God, there's going to be a time for that. You've got a time and a place, and you've got the right anointing for it. You've got the finances for it. And right now, what we're going to do is love you and serve you and say that you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So I've got my dream. You don't have to believe in my dream, but you need to get your own dream. Let's stand if you would. What I want to find out is, will my dream help his dream? And I believe that's what this altar service is about. It's not that I have all the answers. I told you already, I get weary of people telling me answers to things I already have answers to. I'd like to get some answers for those hard questions. I didn't get the job. The tumor grew. I mean, whatever the problem. I lost this. I would like to hear some prophetic word on that side of it. So I'm not looking for someone to give me all your prophecy today. I just want someone to say, Pastor, you need to make sure you got your dream and you hold on to it. And don't you let Red Seas and Egyptians bother you. You stand still and shut up. God will get you out of this issue. I believe that for everybody in this room. So let me give an altar call. There is one dream that God has for everyone in this room, and He was so convinced of it that in Romans 5:8 He said, while you were yet sinners and rebels and warred against me, I loved you, and I demonstrated my love for you in that I sent my son to die for you. So I'm helping you right now. God has a dream of everybody in this room going to heaven. He's got a dream. He's got a dream. You don't have to believe it, but I want you to. This is one I want you to believe, that He wants me to go to heaven. Amen. How many in this room believe that God wants you to go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many of y'all believe God wants you to go to heaven? You believe that? Okay, let's pray a prayer. Close your eyes. Say, Father, I thank you now that you dreamed for me, wrote the pages of my life in my mother's womb. You knew today where I'd be, what I'd face, and you are with me. I'm a covenant carrier. I carry your word, and I thank you that I'm born again. I ask you to forgive me of any sin, shortcoming, or error of my ways. And let me see your mercies new today. And I walk forgiven, primarily forgiving myself and receiving forgiveness from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray real quick before we get out of here, and as however many have this. Some of you have some dreams, and dreams and visions can be the same thing, or direction for your life. And maybe you're doing something right now that you don't feel like you're getting a lot of support for, but you really feel like God's called you to whatever that dream is for your life. And boy, I could pick a lot of them. I can pick rock stars. I could pick dance teams and ministries and things God's called you for. Maybe it is a ministry that God wants to use you in. You've not seen it yet. And here's another one. Maybe you were in one and it blew up on you. People been in churches and it just everything went south and it didn't work out and leadership went nuts and, you know, marriages fail, get screwed up, just all kinds of stuff. Get you at a point for a Sunday morning like this to say, I can't go anywhere with God. And here's what I don't like about religion. Religion agrees with you. Religion says, that's right. You've had a failure. You've had a divorce. You've not been honest. You started and you quit. You didn't follow through. And you stole. And therefore, God can never use you in the ministry. I have a strong disagreement with that. So I'm going to say I want to give an altar call for people to have dreams. Maybe the dream is not where it needs to be right now. Maybe it's not where you want it right now. But you've got a dream and you want to just say this morning, Pastor, I've got a dream. My source for the dream is God. My resource is the kingdom of God. But I believe He's going to do something with my dream today. You're not coming for us to vote on.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.